Well, Malcolm often tells people that Monica, me, that I have no competitive bone in my body. And it's one of these things that baffles him about me. But sometimes, just to humor him, we are cycling home from an errand or somewhere we've been together, and I start racing up the hill to our place, and unbeknownst to him, I cycle up from behind, rocking speeds, getting to the garage door first, and I put my arm up as a sign of triumph. I won. I got home first. I won the race he didn't know he was in. Well, this somewhat silly picture came to my mind when I was reading the Easter story this week in the book of Matthew. These two Marys getting up at dawn, going to the tomb, and suddenly the earth shook, and out from nowhere an angel came down like lightning flash with brilliant white clothes, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. Aha! Triumphant. I just love that little detail in the text, that the angel not only rolled the stone away, but then just sat on it with a sense of glee. No one can move that stone back. The angel, and I think the angel, my favorite angel today, was played by Asher, firmly planted on that rolled back stone. The angel just sat on it. Well, it's a crazy sight, isn't it? I wonder if you kids in our midst can imagine this scene really well. In fact, if you want, you could draw it. I put some paper in the back, and if you want to go and get some paper and be doodling and drawing during this time, you're welcome to. We'd love to see pictures of what you remember from that scene. You know, the earthquake, the angel that was like lightning, white as snow outfit, rolling back the stone, and then just sitting on it in triumph. What would a picture of triumph be to you? We'd love to see pictures of that. So feel free to go and do this during that time. Thus, older people and maybe teenagers and youth, we might have a hard time imagining this scene. I mean, we just aren't used to seeing angels, or at least angels who do and look like this. The gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they talk about angels doing this kind of work. They each describe it a bit differently, but there are definitely angelic beings involved in the resurrection story. The Gospel of John, of course, being the different one, gives an afterward picture. There's no mention of angels, but we do know that the stone was removed. The linens that had wrapped Jesus' dead body were there, and the tomb was empty. The angel presence and the empty tomb emphasizes that this is not something done by human efforts. The Gospel of Matthew doesn't view the resurrection in a naturalistic, humanistic way, believing that humans are capable of achieving this. Matthew makes it really clear that the dazzling angel triumph is that God has come down and God is doing something altogether new on earth. Ernest Hemingway once said, "Life breaks everyone." Do you relate? Life breaks everyone. As we journey through life, we experience breaks all around us. Breaks in our relationships, in our health, in our communities. Death is greedy. It wants all of us. And every one of us runs up against this limitation. You know, death is our boundary. We do not have human capacity to defeat it, even if we try really hard to be good people. And I know some of you are really good people. We come to the end of our good efforts with death. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew is giving us a picture of God overcoming death, of God as victorious, of God being real in our human story. Well, along with the angels, fear is a common theme in the resurrection story. The guards felt the earth shake. They saw this otherworldly creature. They experienced the stone being rolled away, and they started shaking and shaking so hard they became unconscious or paralyzed. I mean, they were like dead men. They were scared to death. And the angel said to the Marys, "But you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." I'm sure you know this. Angels have to say this quite often. We remember other angel visits in Bible stories, angels coming to see Mary and Joseph, or the shepherd seeing the sky of angels. Each time angels come, they always say, they always begin with, "Do not be afraid, fear not." And we often use those words to console children. Do not be afraid. But for us adults, often these words do not work on us. You know, longer in on the journey of life where we have experienced the cuts and breaks and wounds that life have given us, we perhaps are more afraid than ever now, and we believe in fear so much more now. But the angel says to the Marys, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus. I know that you are looking for Jesus." And I just want to stay with these words for the rest of our time together, because I know that you too, Grandview, are looking for Jesus. What does that mean to you? How are you looking for Jesus? The Marys were looking for Jesus, their friend, their teacher, the one whom they loved, the man that they had seen tortured and crucified a few nights before. And the angel said to them, "The crucified Jesus isn't here. He's been raised, and come and see the place where they lay him before." The Marys were coming looking for a dead Jesus. That's what they were expecting, that Jesus was dead. They came looking for a cold, dead body lying in the cold stone tomb. How about you? Is the Jesus you're expecting dead? Do you also come with the Marys and believe that Jesus is dead? Are you only expecting a dead God in your life? It makes sense, doesn't it? In this life that breaks us, it makes logical, rational, common sense to expect God to be dead. Then the angel brings the searching, seeking, looking for Jesus, Marys, into the cold stone cave and shows them it's empty. "He's not here," the angel says. "Look, see, he's not here. The dead Jesus is no longer here. So stop looking for the dead Jesus. You don't need to anymore. You can now start looking for a Jesus who is alive. A Jesus raised from the dead, a God who defeats death." And so the Marys do just that, you know, with great courage, because they're still afraid, and they are also strengthened by hope that gives them joy. So they start looking for Jesus in other places. They keep looking for Jesus, but no longer are they looking for Jesus among the dead. I know, Grandview, that you are looking for Jesus. In this story, the Marys find him. Or rather, I need to say, it happened this way. Jesus found them. Jesus found them suddenly. Jesus met them right there, right in the middle of their searching. Jesus met them and he greeted them with comfort and with joy. And he said, greetings, which also means rejoice. And he said again, do not fear. Jesus met the Marys right in the midst of their fearful and tentatively hopeful searching. Jesus met them right there, giving them joy and comfort. And then he told them to go to Galilee. Tell the disciples what you have seen, and tell them that you will also see me. They will see the risen Christ. Jesus directs the Marys and directs the disciples to keep looking for Jesus. To keep looking for Jesus, actually to look for Jesus in those places where they first encountered him, back in Galilee, where they first met Jesus, where Jesus had a ministry of healing and love and mercy. They are called to look for Jesus back in this familiar place, but in a different way. They will encounter Jesus in a familiar place, in their homes and in their streets, but in a new way, as resurrected. I know, Grandview, you are looking for Jesus. I know you came here this morning looking for Jesus. I know some of you keep coming to this Grandview community week after week to see if you can spot Jesus. Some of you have been coming and coming and looking and looking, and some of you have given up on looking. You needed a break from looking for Jesus in this place, and you started looking for Jesus elsewhere. And of course, Jesus can be found elsewhere, absolutely. As I come back to Grandview Church, where I know you have lived a story, something akin to life breaking into pieces in many different ways, I want to keep looking for Jesus with you in this place. We are invited as a community to keep looking for Jesus among us. Not the dead Jesus, but the risen Christ. We are in the season of the first week, the first day of the week dawning, and we no longer need to keep looking back in that empty tomb. We are called to look for Jesus in the very same places where Jesus did healing and ministry here before, in familiar ways, but it will come. It has come in different ways too. I really don't know how and when the resurrected Jesus will show up this year. And I'm looking forward to next Easter and us sharing with one another where we have seen Jesus in this place. In small and large ways, our work is to keep looking. To keep looking for the Christ in the life all around us, in this new day dawning at Grandview. Greetings, Jesus says to us this morning. Rejoice and do not be afraid. I invite you just to take a moment to speak those words to one another, to those people beside you, or maybe you want to get up actually and move around and speak these words to someone that you haven't seen for a while, or someone that's been on your heart, and you want to speak these words of Jesus, because it is among us that Christ lives. It is among each other where we meet Jesus. So feel free to say to those next to you or get up and move around and say these words, simple words that Jesus spoke. Greetings, and do not be afraid. Greetings, the words of Christ, do not be afraid. You may go ahead and do so now.
Have you finished or not yet?
Not yet.
Oh, good.
Greetings for us, son.
Do it. Put my gloves
on. Do not be afraid. Are you going to call us up? Or do
yeah.
You want to take it?
Sounds yeah.
Good. You've got a little bit of time left?
Yeah.
Be not afraid.
I invite you to gather back and the worship team to come up. Grandview Church, we're invited to keep looking for Jesus among us because Christ is not dead here, but Christ is alive. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.